You know, it's a good example of if you've turned it on, it's on, so you can go forward, right? And if we have truly accepted the Lord, we can go forward. It was enjoyable rejoicing in Him this morning, and I have to say it reminds me of the fact that we have to come unto Him as little children. And the thing about a child is they learn from a position of knowing nothing, but they come to learn many things. And they do it in the presence of others. Children need others. How could they do it otherwise? They wouldn't even live another day without parents and others that are there for their care. And they don't get all hung up about the stumbles and the falls and that kind of stuff. They keep pressing on. And so Megan has the joy of learning the keyboard in public. Praise God. Praise God. But, you know, she has set herself, and I know, trust the Lord to bring it to perfection. Amen. Not that she will always play perfectly. Amen. I am wonderfully blessed by the Tuesday night Bible studies, and I, by choice and just the goodness of God, bring it back to my remembrance and meditate upon it. And one of the things in the last few weeks from 2 Peter chapter 1, where we have been taught both by the Word and then by its being spoken to us and opened up on Tuesdays, is to add things unto our faith. And one of them, we know the first one, is virtue, where we actually step in and take our place in the body of Christ. And that's something we have to do by faith, because there's all manner of things that war against doing so and being secure in that place because of what He has done. But the one I wanted to kind of talk about a little was to add onto virtue knowledge. And that was spoken to be that precise and correct knowledge of the Word of God. And that comes both from knowing the Word, receiving the Word, and believing the Word. But it also comes from our walk in the Lord and are submitting unto His workmanship, submitting unto the exhortation, unto the reproof, and even the rebuke, which oftentimes comes to knock us into play and to get us to actually hear sometimes and take it seriously. And it is out of that work that the Lord does in us, that the Word dwells richly in us. It is through that that Word of God becomes rightly divided, and our understanding of it is correct, and that knowledge is added unto us. One of the best examples in the Bible is King David and the record of his reconciliation to God in Psalm 51, because he was a man that knew the Lord. He was the man that walked in the ways of the Lord. He was a man that ministered the Lord and ministered Him rightly in his actions and in his servanthood to the people God put him over to minister him to. And yet his own confession was that he, after having fallen, been forgiven and reconciled and received that reconciliation, was that now he was in a position. Now I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. This was King David that knew the Lord, whose hope was the Lord, that understood salvation. But through his own experience, that was increased, and so it is. And, you know, when I think about these things, it's kind of funny because not a one of us comes to the Lord with anything good. Not one. Not one of us. And yet we struggle to allow him to set us free and to change us. And the part of the reason for that is we take such personal offense at being found sinful. And yet, that's how we come to him. We come empty of any good thing. And he comes in, and through the body of Christ, through his word, through his Holy Spirit, brings us to places of repentance and turning from that which is not of him, turning from dead works, and stepping up and taking on his and his mind and his ways. And I know that the Lord has been moving through David to minister unto each of us the need to love one another. And, you know, we cannot really love one another until we have received the love of God. And not only just that salvation that we received on the day that we accepted him and acknowledged our need and our sinfulness, but as we press on to know him and to know what our hope is based on, where is there a lack of hope for one another? Where is a lack of hope when we have come to know our only hope is him? And in that we receive and walk and stand and do all things through him and exhort one another unto love and good works. We need it. I mean, why would the Bible say to do it if it wasn't something every one of us needed? So let us rejoice in the goodness of God that we have invited into our lives and is working a work that is beyond our doing. But let us know it and walk it and believe it, even so for one another.
Good morning, everybody out there in Radio Land, and those of us who are here in Northfield today. I want to make a small correction first, just on the 2 Peter point that Robin was bringing up. While she's correct about the true and accurate knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge there that it's speaking of in the part where she just added is not about that. It's actually a different knowledge. Okay. So let me just take you back, and then I want to walk you through a couple of things. If you go back at the beginning of 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." All right. Now, what I wanted you to see there, the knowledge it's speaking of there is the true and correct knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And what the meaning is that as we receive that true and accurate knowledge of Jesus Christ, grace and peace, which we need, grace, first of all, from God, which covers our sin, and peace, which we need with God, so that we're at peace with him, we're operating in accordance with the terms of his peace treaty, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, then empowers us to go forward and add to our faith the things we're talking about. The knowledge that Robin was speaking of and adding to your faith virtue and then virtue knowledge, the knowledge there is like the knowledge of a general of an army. A general of an army recognizes that, first of all, when he's in a war is more than one battle. Second of all, a general of an army recognizes that in the midst of a battle, there's a bunch of different things that are going on, and it's not always going to look good in every instance. Give you a small example. Many of you have seen the movie The Patriot, you may remember. And one of the things that the militia was known for is hightailing it out of there when the British regulars came and started shooting at him. So what he did is he actually used that, and this is actually a true story. I mean, the Patriot is not true, but the story relates to what's called the Battle of Cowpens, which was a very famous battle down in South Carolina for folks. And what they did is they put the militia out there, they fired, and they told them to run after they fired, to run back. Now, if you don't know what the whole plan is, if you're sitting back and you don't know the whole plan, that looks pretty bad, right? But the whole purpose of that was to run back because just over the hill, you had the Continental Army waiting. And they were hoping to draw in the British, who in their pride and arrogance and overconfidence would say, we've got them again, and they would go after them. And so what happened is when they went after them, now they were exposed. Okay, and the Battle of Cowpens was won. All right, so what happens is the knowledge that it's speaking of there is understanding things in a context and in their proper context so that you can give perspective to people who are in the midst of this battle. So, for example, we're homeschooling our children, right? And if you were to look at any given day, my guess is, and it's probably a little better than a guess because my wife does talk to me about what goes on, and I personally am also a partaker in this homeschooling thing, so I also experience the very same thing she does. There's some frustration at times. There's this thing of, I'm failing miserably, I'm doing really badly, and it's never going to succeed, comes up on you, all right? And one of the reasons is because we kind of have in mind the finished product we want to get to, but where they are at 3, 5, 7, and 9 seems to not bear any resemblance to that finished product we want to get to. And so we lose hope in the midst of the battle and think continuously that we're failing, right? And every once in a while, the Lord will give you some perspective and say, no, no, no. Don't you worry about that. Don't fret about that. You know, as they say, Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither is a 18-year-old young adult established in a single day. It's a process, and you've got to work through, and they've got to learn some different things. Same is true with us as Christians. And, you know, the issue is we're going on unto perfection. And we can look around and look at ourselves and feel like, I'm far from that. We can look at those who we may be ministering to and go, how are they ever going to get there? And, you know, we can have all of these things. And it can be disheartening at times. And what happens is the perspective, that knowledge that it's speaking of there, where you understand what's going on in context and you can see it, breeds hope. It breeds hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, as it says over there in the scripture. So I want you to understand that that's where that knowledge is coming from, and we're going to kick some butt here. All right? So now I want to take you over to 1 John chapter 5. And when we finish 2 Peter, we were finishing it, and I brought up, well, I wonder where we'll go from here. And Davey said, well, I'm looking at 1 John. So I was like, oh, well, okay. So I listened to 1 John. That might sound strange to you. I listened to it twice, the whole thing. I turned on Alexander Scorby on my computer. He reads it to me, and I follow along, and I listen to it. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the Lord, while I do that, one of the things he does is he quickens to me things as I hear his word. And he opens up stuff to me that then helps me, both in my own individual life, but then in ministering the word unto others. And if you didn't notice, I said I listened to it twice. How often when you just finish reading something, do you feel like reading it again? Sometimes we do. Many times where we're coming from is we're glad it's done. We finished, right? But the scripture talks about by two or three witnesses is anything established. See, I don't know about you guys, but I want that word of God established in me. I want it established in me so I can walk it out. Robin mentioned earlier, you know, we have to come as little children. And little children, the difference with little children is they don't know anything. So they're starting from zero, and they're like sponges, just receiving and receiving and receiving and growing all the time, right? Sometimes they're receiving stuff that's not too good. There's a lot of that goes on as well. Same is true for us in the Spirit and us as Christians. And when you recognize, as Robin was talking about, that when we come to the Lord, we come with nothing good, then you're right back in that same place in the Spirit that a little child is in the natural, right? They don't know anything. And when you the sooner you recognize that, the easier it is to yield to and receive the love of the truth. Okay? Because when you realize that what you got ain't good, but you realize that what he did for you, which begins with you receiving his salvation, when you receive his salvation, you receive it because you recognize, I need a Savior. I'm a disaster here. I need a Savior. Well, then why, after you find out you need a Savior, would you not then listen to your Savior on how you ought to do so you can avoid all the stupid things you did before and live a different way? Right? I mean, isn't that what it's all about? I mean, I got to the place where I found myself on my knees and asking Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior because of what? Things were screwed up and I didn't know what to do about it. So now I've received him and I'm not going to listen to him then? Nah, you ought to listen to him. Now, as we do this, and there's a scripture that it's not here in 1 John, but it says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus which strengtheneth me. Right? I can do all things through Christ Jesus which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ Jesus which strengtheneth me. Sounds cool, doesn't it? We all like that. Let me ask you, let me see a show of hands. Who's living that daily? I can do all things through Christ Jesus which strengtheneth me. Right? Now, I'll share something. There's another scripture over in John, not 1 John 5 here, but it talks about, you know, if you ask anything in my name believing, what? You'll receive it. Well, gosh, have you ever done that? And have you ever thought you did that and been disappointed? I know I have. I don't know about you guys. I thought I've done it many times and been disappointed. Different situations and stuff like that, and somewhat heartbreaking. Lord, what's the matter? Why didn't I get it? Why did this? I thought I asked in faith. I thought I da-da-da-da-da. And stuff like that. And I found that I might have asked to consume it upon my own lust. I might have found that I asked something wavering. You know, might have found I asked in different ways. And I realized that. And then I started thinking, like, when I began asking, it began harder to believe that I was going to get what I'd asked. Sometimes it became harder. And it'd be like, you know, and that's not a good place. It's not a happy place. When you're there, where you, even as you go to ask the Lord a thing, you're not sure that you're going to get it. Anybody ever have that happen, where you ask and you're not sure you're going to get it? And over here in 1 John, I found a little nugget, which to me was like, awesome, man. That's awesome. And it really blessed me, so I thought I'd share it with you. I'm going to go back to verse 1, though, of 1 John 5, just to begin there, because I want to put a couple things in context as we get down. Whosoever that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Hear that. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's simple. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? You're born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So everyone that loveth him that begat, God, loveth him also that is begotten of him, which is one another. Right? Now let's continue on. Doesn't necessarily always seem to resemble us, but let's follow this through here for a moment. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, mind you, this is not the law of Moses. Okay, this is the law of faith in Christ Jesus. All right, which is, look, if God has forgiven me my sins, if he has forgiven me my sins, then can I not forgive another his sins or her sins? Right? And if you can forgive them those sins, then you know what? You can also love them. You can love them. If you can't forgive them their sins, how can you love them? You can only love them when you forgive them their sins. Otherwise, you're holding them against them. Let's keep going. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Well, what is the world full of? Sin. What's the biggest sin the world is overflowing with? Unbelief. And pride, as Robin was mouthing silently over there. All right. Now, let's keep going here. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. In other words, we can overcome these things. These things no longer have to be what bind us. Unbelief does not have to have any hold of us. When you understand that your flesh is unbelief and whoop-de-doo that your flesh is unbelief, it's never going to be anything but unbelief. So what difference does it make? Zero, zippo, nada. All right, when you realize that the flesh is sin, and it says here, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And what was it about born of God before? You believe that Jesus is the Christ? You believe Jesus is the Christ? Then you know what? Sin, this body of sin, no longer has to rule you. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about your body of sin. Doesn't matter. Because God didn't die to save your body of sin. That's why we have funerals. Because we put the body of sin into the grave. Right? We put the body of sin into the grave. What rises again is our soul and our spirit. That's what rises again. We get a new body in heaven that isn't sinful. All right, so for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So it's solely by faith. Faith in what Jesus did. We read a couple years ago, and Kenny, you were at this too, when we did the revival out back here. The theme was abiding in the vine, and the concept that without me, referring to Jesus, you can do nothing. So when we know that without Jesus we can do nothing, then we know that we need Jesus to do anything. But by Jesus we can literally do anything. You follow what I'm saying? We can do anything. I mean, Jesus even overcame death. There is nothing, absolutely nothing in this world that he did not overcome. And we in him likewise are overcomers. By the way, I haven't even got to place of one to yet, so let's keep going. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Spirit they're talking about there is the Holy Spirit of God. What did Jesus say? Believe me for the very works faith. And he said, you know, they said, you be one that testify of yourself. He said, no. Believe me for the very works sake. And the works, he didn't claim to do himself. He said that the Father that dwelleth in him. Well, Jesus' natural Father was the Holy Spirit of God. It was the Holy Spirit that overshadowed Mary and she was found with child, right? So that very same Holy Spirit that was in Christ, we saw it come down on the day of the baptism when he got baptized by John, the Spirit descending upon him as a dove, not in the form of a dove, but just like a dove descends, so the Spirit of God descended upon him. Right? And when that Spirit of God descended upon him, immediately drove him out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came out of that, then you see the power of God moving in his ministry. You didn't see it before then. Then you saw the power of God, because now he was equipped. Well, you want to be equipped? Let's read on. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. We got one Kenny sitting back there, right? Anybody see three Kennys? I see one Kenny. He's big Kenny. That's why I chose him. He's hard to miss. But we got one Kenny back there, and yet Kenny is three. He's Kenny the body, which we see. He's Kenny the soul, which we don't see. And he's Kenny the spirit, which we don't see. The three together make one Kenny, just like what we read right here. And there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. All right? Now, watch the next verse. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. That's relating to baptism. There's the baptism of blood, which occurs when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Father washes our soul. Washes only our soul, but he washes our soul in the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And our soul is made clean. What does it need to be cleansed from? Well, you know when you put a barrel of apples out here and you throw in one rotten, what happens? The whole barrel goes foul, right? Well, because of the sin of Adam, when we're born and the spirit, our spirit is separated from our soul, and we come under that curse of Adam, where our flesh is made sinful, our soul is joined to that flesh, and so our soul becomes corrupt. It becomes overcome by that sin that is in our flesh, because that's all it's ever known. So God has to wash our soul in the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. So praise God. Everybody here, including young Abby this week, praise the Lord, has received the baptism of blood. Then there's the baptism of water, which occurs. The baptism of water is performed by the Holy Spirit of God. The baptism of water is where the Holy Spirit of God takes your soul and he translates your soul by his power into the body of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you need a new home that's not corrupt. You need a new home that's not corrupt. And that home is the body of Jesus Christ until we receive our new home, which is in heaven. So he translates our soul into the body of Jesus Christ. Then the final baptism is the baptism of the Spirit. And the baptism of the Spirit, just like it was for Jesus, just like it was on the day of Pentecost, just like it was on the day with Cornelius and his household, or the many other instances like when Paul laid hands on the Ephesians to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you see, that is the baptism into the power of God, where you can now go forward and do the works of God, because you have his Spirit. You have his Spirit. Now you can walk as he walked. All right, that's all pretty cool, but let's keep going. If we receive the witness of men, whoop-de-doo. That's not in there, the whoop-de-doo. I apologize. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. The only witness you need to be mindful of is the witness of God. All right, and when you're looking for the witness of God, you'll also look and acknowledge and accept the witness of those according to his line of authority, because you receive it as the very witness of God rather than the witness of man. Because those are the ones who have to watch for your souls and have to give account unto him. All right, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. All right, 14 is really want to get to, but I want to just skip down here and go through these briefly. Right. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. This word that we have right here is the very witness of God of his Son. Because when you're talking about in Genesis 3, where the voice of the Lord God was walking in the garden, when you read in Genesis 1 and the Lord said, "Let there be light," it's speaking of Jesus, the Word of God, his Son. Okay? When you read every prophet, where it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," it's speaking of the witness of his Son. When you read the gospel, and we read about what Jesus did, it's giving us the witness of his Son. He said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I have done, ye will do also, yea, far greater works than these shall ye do." That's the witness of his Son. That's what it's talking about. If you believe that, you will have that witness of God in yourself. "To those that believe on, gave he them power to become the sons of God." That power is the Spirit of God, that Spirit of truth, which will teach you all things concerning Christ Jesus. So look, if you don't have that, you want to get it. You want to get it. And if you do have it, walk in it. Stop waiting for your stinking flesh to say it's okay, because it ain't ever going to do it. Stop waiting for anybody else to tell you it's okay, because nobody else can make you walk in it. Nobody else can. We can exhort you, we can reprove you, we can rebuke you, we can do all sorts of things like that. But all of that is to bring you to a place where you yourself decide to believe it and go forward in it. All right? And if you won't believe it and go forward in it, you make God a liar. Not that God is literally a liar, but that's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. So, goes on here. He says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son, and no other, might I add. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." That makes clear what I just said. It's only in the Son. And you can only be in the Son by not a single thing you do or ever will do, but by your reception, your receipt of that free gift of God in the form of Jesus Christ that he bought for you when he gave his own blood. See, we were bought with a price. If we receive it, then we're willing, then we are then his and no longer our own. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." See, believing on means you receive these things I'm talking about. You recognize that what you had before was garbage, worthless, and you choose to become as a little child and get built up in things that are good and wholesome and right. That is the Word of God. You get it in you. You get it in you. You study it. You listen to it. It becomes the most important thing to you in the world, Jesus Christ. And when he becomes the most important thing to you in the world, then you know what? He's going to keep his eye on you. He's going to fulfill his word to you. He can't honor unbelief. He can't honor it. So you got to believe. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." See, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. The reason why you know you have eternal life is because God is true. Not because of anything you do. And the reason why you can stand in it and know it. And look, one of the things that happens to me regularly, and people don't, I don't know. I mean, I say it. I don't know that people believe it. But I say it. Oh, it seems over and over and over and over and over again. There are so many times where I feel, and I probably should emphasize the word feel, where I feel like, where is God? Where is he in my life? Where are you, Lord? How could you be with me, Lord? I mean, just 1,000 different things. like that, where I feel completely, totally, utterly worthless and alienated from God completely. Happens all the time. All the time. Now, how do I overcome that? Because truth is, I feel that way, and you know, it can be hard to get out of a feeling like that. I feel that way, but what happens is I remember first the Word, that His promise is that He'll be with me to the end. I remember the many, 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 many examples over the course of my life that He has given me to know that He is with me. And usually that doesn't bring me up off the ground at all. Just so you know, that doesn't usually bring me up off the ground. I'm still on the ground, but I'm remembering these things. But it's usually not good enough, because I usually have in my carnal mind and everything, I have another explanation for everything God's ever done for me. So it usually doesn't really get me up. But what happens is in that place I get down and I just remember the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing about me that's justified. And I may be feeling that way because I can tell I've drifted. I can tell I've gotten off course. I can tell a bunch of different things. And I just don't know how to get back. And I'm in that place and I'm feeling miserable and I feel like I can't get out and everything. And what happens is I pray and Lord, please, just have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me, Lord. You know, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Have grace on me, Lord, and help me, Lord. And Lord, I just submit myself unto you. I submit myself unto you, Lord, and I submit myself unto your promise, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for me. And I just pray, Lord, please have mercy upon me and guide me this day. And what happens is I get up, not usually feeling like, you know, da-da-da-da, I'm Superman, super, you know, Christian or anything like that. I get up off the floor as an act of will in faith in the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then as I engage that day in whatever it is He would have me do, the witness of God is there. All of a sudden, the witness of God is there that He is with me. He gives me an insight to the individual. He shows me how to deal with the situation. All these different things, all of a sudden, He does. And that witness of His Spirit with me is what then strengthens me and fortifies me to go and kick some butt, because now I know we are made more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. You follow what I'm saying? So I don't go out in presumption. I go out because the witness is like it's like that dunamis spirit, which is just, it's that self-generating. Remember the living waters that He gives? It bubbles up and gurgles up, and I just know it's there, and I just praise God, and I go forward knowing I'm forgiven. And then we get to this. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Look at this verse. See, this is the one that really was to me a great, 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 great blessing, just maybe Friday or something like that. I forget what day it was. And the reason is watch. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Well, I know there's a lot of things I've asked that are according to His will. I know it. You know why? Because I've asked a lot of things according to His will that are right in this book. You know, I'll say to Him, Lord, strengthen and fortify my will to do Thy will. Well, what do you think? You think God's going to go, nah. not for you. I mean, what do you think? You know what I mean? Do you think that's where He's going to come from? I ask the Lord, Lord, perfect me in Thy love. It says, perfect love casteth out all fear, Lord. You are perfect love. May you root out and whatever, you know, just Lord, whatever it takes, I want to be made perfect in your love. I want to love my brethren. Lord, show me, guide me to minister in love unto my brethren. Nope, not going to do that one either. Tough. You're a screwball. You don't count. You're not getting it. Do you follow what I'm saying? And I say this to you because, look, I mean, it's like I was talking with Robin the other day, kind of reproving. maybe a little rebuking, certainly some exhorting yesterday, which is why I asked her to preach today, because I figured no better time than after you've been reproved and rebuked and exhorted. And what it is that there's a place when I wake up in the morning and I start going forward and I look at my day or I look at the different things that have gone, and this frequently happens at the end of the day, I see a lot of places where I faltered. I see them. I see the places where I faltered. I see, you know, where I have just not stood, I have not seized an opportunity, I've not done things. Well, to me, that's my marching orders for today. Lord, help me with this. I have a problem here, as you can see. I mean, it may be new to me. It's probably very old to you, for which I apologize. But I can see that I've got a problem here. I don't want to keep that problem. I don't want to keep that problem. I'm done with these problems. So I lift up that problem to him and ask him for help. And he goes, nope, not today. You're not getting any help on this. No. Truth is, he helps me with it. Now, the thing about it is, and this is why it's so disconcerting to us often and why we get off course and why we just have to hang in and stand fast in the Lord, is, you know, when I ask him to make me perfect in love, usually the next thing I find myself is I'm pretty freaking miserable. I don't know about you. I frequently find myself very miserable immediately after that. And the reason is because he's giving me opportunities to love you guys. And what is he? I mean, he loves us when we are yet sinners, and he loves us when we're all these different things. And I'm looking at this rank sinner jerk right in my freaking face who is like, so daggone frustrating. Have you ever, he's like, Lord, I was just asking you to help me with love. I'm not feeling any love here. You follow what I'm saying? And sometimes it may be 10 years later I realize, stupid, I've been working with you. What do you think all of that's about? Oh, that's love? And you know what I come out of it with? Better knowledge of who Jesus is. And grace and peace are multiplied unto me. Praise God. And when I say 10 years that it takes me to learn some of those lessons, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Every day missed for 9 years, 364 days? Yes. And then on the 365th day, I have a eureka moment. Wow. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. And my perspective has changed. And then I can help others who are struggling in the midst. You see what I'm saying? But I just want you to know this confidence, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. There are things I'm not sure he's going to want to give me. Okay? There are things I'm not sure of. And we all are. What do we know? I mean, we're out here trying the best we can, and there's not something. It's not like he says, you shall get a skiing pass from Cochran's this year. I don't know. It doesn't read that. I've never read that in the scripture. I might want to do it, but that doesn't mean that it's of him, or that he's going to give it to me, or all of that other kind of stuff. It might be he might be saving me from something I don't even know about by not giving it to me. You follow what I'm saying? But when I ask him for things that are in accordance with his word, I can know of an absolute certainty. I can know of an absolute certainty that he will answer that. Anybody here want eternal life? Anybody here want to make it to heaven? You think he's sitting back going, when you ask him, or you think he wants, that's why he died for you. He wants us to make it, folks. He wants us to make it. He doesn't want to put stumbling blocks before us and everything else. He wants us to make it. It's just we make it and we're strengthened in our spirit, not our flesh. And it can be very dismaying to our flesh, that process. And that's why we need fellowship. That's why we need to hang out one with another. That's why we need to do that, because it can be disheartening at times. So I just want you to know, let's go forward with a confidence in the Lord that which we have asked according to his will, let us know that he is going to bring it to pass. Nothing wavering. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.